WABC New York, 880 on your dial.
Travels through Delano Hall and Walter Reed Hospital, Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C., to interview America's courageous Army and Navy nurses. These nurses, subject to all the hazards of war, are fearlessly and tirelessly working to help bring our fighting men back to full health and usefulness. Their experiences occur on land, water, and in the air. But first, here are your two box toppers, Mark Johnson and Warren Howe. Come in, Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir, folks, this is Parks Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull.
As part of our audience here tonight, we have several hundred graduate and student nurses. You know, many of them are eligible to become Army and Navy nurses and sign up for the new rating. Fair choice, and we bet folks some of you will want to take that step after this is over tonight.
Yes, we hope the stories you and they will hear during the next 30 minutes may help some of them and you to decide that our men out there, where the bullets are flying, really need them. You know, the Army and the Navy need many of you women now listening. Won't you listen to our heroic nurses tonight carefully? Okay, Parsons, first.
One, for the next 30 minutes, as you know, we're going to chat with Army and Navy nurses who've been with our men on the various battle fronts. First, an Army nurse who's been a nurse since 1934. She's had two tours of overseas duty, and I know she'd like her, but she's right back there now. She's needed here, however, in the Surgeon General's office. Folks, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Captain Edith Ames. Captain, am I right that the Army, your Army nurses undergo real battle training just like the soldiers?
Okay.
As such as what? What do they do?
Oh, they box holes and then jumping into them.
Uh-huh.
They go on long hikes.
I didn't think you had to learn to jump into a box hole.
You fall in.
You get in there in a hurry. Well, isn't that sort of a new thing?
Yes, it is. Quite new. Nurses coming in the corps at this time are given an orientation course and learn the technique of the Army much faster than what's true in the past.
Well, they've got to do it because they're right up not far from the battle front, actually, with the men when they go in.
That's right. The nurses land with the troops in some places. They have to know how to defend themselves.
You bet. Well, the fact that they land with the troops and the fact that they're always there means that many lives are saved that otherwise wouldn't be, isn't that right?
That's right. The record shows that we have saved 97.5% of all battle casualties.
You mean men that are brought back to hospital from directly from the front?
That's right.
97.5, that's good. Say, Captain Ames, aren't you in public relations?
Yes, I am.
Isn't that something new in the Army Nurse Corps?
Yes, it is.
Why? Why is it?
Well, the nursing profession has never needed publicity before because there's always been enough women interested in nursing to take care of the needs of our country.
You mean they're not now? You really need nurses?
We need them very badly.
Well, how are you going to get them and where are they?
Well, they're in hospitals right now. Most of them are graduate nurses who are registered and are capable of coming into the Army and doing great work for the country.
Well, isn't it true that a lot of them can't come until they've had some relief in the way of some civilian women who come in as nurses' aides or so on?
That's true.
Uh-huh.
We have a nurse cadet corps that will relieve graduate nurses for students.
Say, there's something I wish you would explain to me. Isn't it true that there are a lot of nurses in various places that are currently not doing a great deal right now and sort of getting nervous and want to do something?
Well, of course, we learned a great lesson at Pearl Harbor and Corregidor in that unpreparedness does not pay. And for that reason, the War Department has taken great precautions to send nurses into isolated areas anywhere where the troops go, so that in case of an attack, they will be there because they
of
can't
course.
Get there after.
That's a very simple explanation, and I'm sure a lot of us are glad to hear that, too. And, Captain, I'm sure that, too, the women who are listening, when they realize
the real need.
Four nurses at this time are going to answer the call. I know they're going to come too.
We hope so.
Yes, and the least they can do is to check in tomorrow or sometime very soon with our Red Cross and ask about homemade nursing or nurses' aid, even that.
Even that will help.
Well, thank you very much, Captain. Now, look, wait a minute before you go away. Gromoshoff has found out that one of your hobbies is taking pictures, is that right?
That's right.
Well, we've got a beautiful, up-to-the-minute, latest light meter, which we're sending down to you. It's in New York at the moment. And on top of that, knowing that you're collecting silver, we've got a complete table setting for two of the Craftsman padding, Adam sterling silver flatware engraved.
That's
thank
wonderful.
You very much, Captain.
Thank you.
Okay, Warren, who's next?
Thank you, Paul.
Folks, were you ever taken prisoner and held by the Japs in a prison in Japan? No, of course. But here's a woman who was. A Union, Ohio girl who was a nurse and who joined the Navy 7 years ago, Lieutenant Leona Jackson. Miss Jackson, where were you taken prisoner?
From Guam.
Oh, you mean Guam? That was right off the bat, wasn't it?
Right off the bat.
Didn't waste any time getting in
no
there.
No time wasted.
What happened at Guam that day?
Well, I don't think that story will be told until after the war.
Oh, a woman can keep a secret.
Oh, undoubtedly.
They took you directly to Japan?
After a month. Back.
Well, that's in the middle of the river then, wasn't it?
Yes, not exactly my idea of a winter's vacation. Of course, it's been in the tropics, you know. It was cold in Japan, winter time.
I'll bet it is. How long were you there?
For 6 months in all.
Well, what were your living conditions?
Well, I wouldn't recommend that for a vacation either. They were a little bit primitive, to say the least.
Yes?
The beds weren't exactly the type of duty rest mattresses you find in most hospitals. They consisted of a little bit of straw with a Japanese mat over it for patients and everybody concerned.
Uh-oh. How about the food?
Well, do you like rice? I never did.
Yes. Well, it was rice, huh?
Well, rice, and sometimes a little soggy bread, and a concoction that we dubbed weed and water soup.
Well, you must have lost the weight with that.
Well, after a month with quite good food on drift home, when I got back to the States, I found I was still minus 15 pounds.
Well, I suppose they fed you good old smorgasbord down the drift home.
No idea what it looked like. The day we came aboard, they had a real spread for it. And we all took one look and gasped, and then we cheered.
Is that all?
Then we ate.
And you fell through, huh? Did you have a chance to find out what news the Japs were feeding their people over there?
Oh, yes. We had, there were two of us out in the compound and our detention house one particular afternoon. Some planes came over, and we hadn't seen any Japanese planes for a while, so we looked pretty closely at them. And my companion said, "I don't think those are Japanese planes." I said, "I don't either. I don't know who they belong to, but I know a lot of people, both our Army and our Navy, who are just crazy enough to fly that low around here."
Uh-oh, I bet I know who they were then.
Huh? Was General Doolittle paying a call.
Ah, that was good news. Say, we know that you've had some dealings with the Japs. What do you think we should do with them?
Well, of course, my catechism must be exterminate them.
Yes. Well, I think we'll let that stand right there. I think that's what most of us feel like. And we want to thank you for being with us tonight. And Bromo-Stubbs has had a couple of things for you you might like. We have a year's subscription to the Book of the Month Club. That's plenty of good reading, isn't it? And for your quarters, we have a Duncan Fife tip-top, if I can say all this, a tip-top tea table with hand-pulled genuine leather covered top and shelf. That
thank
is a beauty.
You.
Thank you, and good luck to you, Leona Jackson of the Navy Nurse Corps. All right, Buck.
And now, folks, it's time to clear the track for that mechanical marvel, the talking watch pop thing. And yes, she comes.
Yes, from Maine to California, north, south, east, and west, you hear it echoing.
Five, headache, three ways.
You know, time is much too precious these days for any of us to let a common sick headache slow us down. And that's why more and more men and women are turning to Bromo Seltzer for quick, effective relief. You see, unlike many headache preparations, Bromo Seltzer offers three-way relief from the three-way misery that may so often accompany a common sick headache.
Bromo Seltzer quickly relieves headache pain.
That's one.
Bromo Seltzer helps calm jumpy nerves.
And that's two.
Bromo Seltzer helps settle upset stomachs.
That's three. Three good reasons why you should take a Bromo Seltzer the next time you have a headache. Use it only as directed on the label. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But when you're miserable from a common sick headache, take the advice of our talking Vox Pop brain.
Fight the headache! Three ways!
Back in Delano Hall, Walter Reed Hospital, Army Medical Center down in Washington, D.C. And folks, here's a flight nurse. You know, an airborne nurse. Maybe she's the one, but certainly she, some of her sisters, have saved many, many lives of our men by getting them very quickly from the battlefront to the evacuation hospital far in the rear. Folks from Drexel Park, Pennsylvania, a very effective Army nurse, Lieutenant Henrietta Richardson. Lieutenant, were you a nurse before the war? Well, where?
I was a stewardess for Western Airlines.
Oh, Western Airlines. I've been on that. Say, do flight nurses get special training?
Yes, they do. They get an 8-week course down at Bowman Field in Princeton, Kentucky.
In the air, of course.
Yes.
How to handle patients on it. Well, you were one of the first, if not the first, flight nurse back from the front. How many flying hours have you had actually carrying me?
About 132.
Hmm. How many nurses are there? Gee, that's... You bet she rates it. How many of you nurses are on one of those planes?
Just one.
And a medical corpsman. I see. Well, how many patients can you carry, or do you carry?
We carry 18 wheeled patients and sometimes 22 walking patients.
And you're equipped to do anything that's necessary?
That's right.
Even operate if you have to?
Well, not exactly operate.
Well, I shouldn't have gone into that, should I? Tell me, when you get up to the front and are ready to pick these men up who've been wounded just recently in battle, how do they react when they see you coming?
Well, most of them are very happy to see an American girl because some of them haven't seen one for quite some time.
And they know that when an Army nurse gets hold of them that they're going to be all right, too. Say, what do they talk about? What do they like to talk about?
Well, they tell you about the experiences they had at the front.
Just want to talk, don't they?
A lot of them tell about your pictures of people back home.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I would, too, if I had a pretty Army nurse that would listen to me. Are you married, Lieutenant Richardson?
Yes, I am.
Is your husband in the service?
Yes, he is.
Where? Do you know?
He's a Jap prisoner. He was taken to Salty Island.
Oh, he was taken there?
Yes.
When is the last you heard from him?
April 15, 1942.
That was way back there. How long were you married?
10 days before he left.
Is that so? Where was his home?
Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, he's from Montana?
Yes, sir.
Those Montana men are tough, and he'll come through. And you know that all of us join you, Lieutenant, in praying that he remains well and that he and all of our gallant men who are prisoners of war will come through safely. You know we feel that. And, that's something that we hope that you will enjoy using. First, it's a leather weekend bag just crammed with a beautiful makeup kit all built in. And second, a beautiful flame-colored houseboat. Can you use it? And one other thing. Wait a minute, girl. One other thing. As a morale builder, a black chiffon hat. Thank you very much.
If you have a loved one in the Army or Navy nurses, or if you're interested in becoming one, listen to why we sat with this young Army nurse who's been overseas for a year and a half. She's set to turn from service with our first medical unit to go into India. Homestead, Pennsylvania, Lieutenant Ann Petraeus. Mr. Petraeus, if you were out in India, you'd see a good deal of the world.
Oh, a great deal. It used to be that you joined the Navy and see the world, but you certainly join the Army now and see the world.
You do. Well, can you tell us where you were stationed out there?
Yes, we were stationed out on the desert.
Well, Where did the casualties for your hospital come from?
They were usually flown in from China, and from there they were flown back to the
States. Yes, I remember when we were here in Washington, Walter Reed Hospital, we had one that was flown back from there. Had him on the air. Did you have to learn any native language over there?
Well, we thought it would be to an advantage at first, but we found out that after a lot of perspiration over the language, that when you went to a bazaar, you try to form your sentences and ask the shopkeepers for your articles, but they usually answered you, sure, okay, we've got it.
Well, were the sounds interesting?
They were very interesting. There were a lot of, there were some palaces about and sacred cows.
Oh, sacred cows roaming around, huh?
Yes.
Well, I know, look, you just came back to this country. You may not know it, but in this country now, cows are sacred.
They are.
What did you do for recreation?
Well, we rode bicycles, and we also did a little camel riding.
Camel riding, huh?
Well, it's sort of a jeep to the Indian, you know.
Well, how did you like them?
Well, we didn't particularly like them because they don't smell quite as nice as the jeep do.
Well, were the times over there when you got pretty homesick?
No, not particularly. We had a great deal to do, and one instance that I recall especially is at Christmas time. There were quite a few refugee children coming through, and we took them in, and we had about 100 of them for Christmas dinner. And we fed them and clothed them and really had a party.
So you were...
Wasn't homesick.
You were so busy making the children happy, you didn't have time to be homesick yourself.
Okay.
Well, that's in line with the merchant's fleet of service, all right. And we want to thank you for being with us, Friday. Knowing that your luggage finally collapsed after your trip from India, we have a suitcase of striped duck quill bound with rawhide. And it will last for many a year and looks smart, too. And we happen to know that the other five other girls who came back from India with you and who have been on furlough are all going to join you in Chicago for a night before you go on to your next course of duty. So we want you to have a party in the pantry room with the Sherman, and Domo will pick up the check. Domo's out there. And, wait a minute, wait. Clear the deck, boys, lock the doors. We just brought up from an armored car with MCs on each side of Dave here a pair of nylon stockings.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Park. Folks, today is October the 11th, and you know what that means. Just four more days till Christmas.
That's right, everybody. You know, it won't be Christmas for those men overseas unless you mail your packages before October 15th for the Army and November 1st for the Navy. So get going.
And since we're speaking of Christmas, Warren, I guess this is a pretty good time for you to read that letter from Mrs. Helen Galbraith of Plainfield, New Jersey.
And how? It's a dandy. And Mrs. Galbraith writes, last Christmas morning of all time, I woke up with a common sick headache. I felt bad enough, but when I thought of the morning's work ahead of me, I felt even worse.
Yes, sir. It seems that not only were Mrs. Galbraith's relatives coming to dinner, but also two soldiers from nearby camp. And she had the whole dinner for the and everything.
Yes, and this is mighty cute, folks. She said to her husband, this is our chance to show our appreciation for the enjoyment we've had from Box Pop. So her husband went right out and got a bottle of normal seltzer. And sure enough, in a short time, Mrs. Galbraith felt so much better that she not only got the turkey and vegetables ready, but she made four pies. And she goes on to say, the best part of it all was that I was also able to enjoy my dinner to the utmost. Thanks a lot for Bromo Seltzer, and keep up the good work on Doc Potter. We're thrilled by it.
And we're thrilled by your letter, Miss Galbraith. Of course, Warren and I know there's nothing better than Bromo Seltzer, but we'd like to hear you folks say it. Folks, now comes one of those nurses that you love the minute she walks into the room. I still find it hard to believe that she was a World War number one nurse. She just doesn't look it, and I don't think the nurses out in front of me can believe it either. She's served all over the world. She's done marvelous service, and thousands of men everywhere whom I know tonight will be glad to hear her voice on Vox Pop. Folks, the chief nurse at the Navy Medical Center at the beautiful Bethesda, Maryland, Lieutenant Grace Lally. Lieutenant Lally, you were a Navy nurse way back in 1718?
No, Mr. Johnson.
No?
I was in the Army.
Oh, an Army nurse? Oh. How come you're in the Navy now?
I saw the light.
Well,
Well, I think it's nothing but fair that both branches of the service should have a part of you. Let's skip right down to this present war.
What action were you in before they made you chief nurse at the service?
I was aboard a hospital.
Oh, what?
Southeast.
Can you say what ship?
Oh,
the old Solid. A lot of us are good about it. And what were you doing? When did you start in this war?
Oh, we were at Pearl Harbor on the 7th of December.
You were from then right on?
Yes, sir.
As until when?
Until the 29th day of December.
This past year?
Yes, sir.
You carried many, many wounded soldiers on the old Solid, haven't you?
Yes, we did.
Uh-huh.
Many.
How about your record aboard that ship, the number of men you carried, how they came through and all like that? Do you have any scope on that for me?
Well, from December last year, or rather from August mm-hmm. until December last year,
mm-hmm.
we had 4,000 patients, and we only lost 7.
That is a miracle, isn't it? Well, now, they were not all 4,000 Navy men, were they?
Oh, no. We had the Marines and the Army. And we had some Navy people, too.
Wherever somebody sticks a hurt, no matter what the nurse is, she's right on the ground.
Yes.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what goes on the hospital ship, the men, the nurses, and so on. Just talk to anything that you feel involved in it.
Well, when we come aboard, our first idea was to get them bathed because some of them hadn't had baths for some time.
Mm-hmm.
We bathed them and made them comfortable. And then after that, first of all, they were pretty tense. But then after they were there a day or two, and usually the night before we went into port where we evacuated the patients, they didn't do much morphine at all.
No, not with such nurses as the Navy furnishes aboard the Solid alone. I know that. Lieutenant Lally, something else. When you got into port, did you have long there? Did you have to turn around and say the next day or something like that?
Yes. We would get in the Navy, and then we would stay there perhaps one night or two nights, and then we'd turn around and went back again. We had to come to a ferry ship.
Oh, yeah. And the nurses were busy going and coming for us.
Going to from the war zones to places of safety, mm-hmm. they were very busy taking care of the patients.
Of course.
And of course, going back then, mm-hmm. they were very busy getting ready for the next patient.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant, I wish I could talk and talk and talk to you. There's so much I want to ask you, but one other thing. Would you like to stay ashore or would you like to go back?
Well, I'm very happy where I am, but like every Navy nurse, I want to get out.
I know you do.
War zone.
Well, Bromo Seltzer and Vox Pop has got two things for you that we hope you will enjoy and remember us by for a long, long time. I know you collect china, so we've got an English bone kind of china tea set for you.
Oh.
And wait just a minute. Hold it a minute. I've got something else. And knowing also your love, real love, for anything that's alive, and particularly pets, we've got a purebred toy fox terrier. Isn't it sweet?
But I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson.
Uh-huh.
I had expected you were going to send something to the Solid.
For the girl? For your shipmates on the Solid?
Yes.
Vox Pop will never let you down. We are going to ship to your shipmates on the Solid before Christmas and for Christmas 100 of the latest and finest of Victor Records, and you know what Victor Records are. And we hope they enjoy it.
And
very,
I know
very much.
How they're going to enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Go ahead. Okay, Warren.
Folks, here's a young woman, a former public health nurse who joined the Army Nurse Corps and is just back from Australia, where she may have helped your son or your brother, your sweetheart or husband back to health. She's from Big Run, Pennsylvania, Lieutenant Helen Smathers. Smathers, when you were over there in Australia, did you get very close to the fighting?
No, we didn't. We were in a base hospital far behind the lines. We did all of the time get up close to it.
But they kept you busy, though. I suppose you were treating casualties from the South Pacific battle zone?
Yes, we did.
You have malaria and the like, too?
Yes, we had probably as many tropical diseases as we did have battle wounds to take care of.
Well, was there any phase of nursing that you specialized in?
I specialized in neuropsychiatric nursing.
What? Come again? What's she at? What? Oh, I suppose you girls can all pronounce that word. Yeah, well, what do you mean?
It means care of the mentally ill or of the...
Oh, you mean shell shock?
We don't call it shell shock anymore. We call it exhaustion.
Oh, I see. Well, what makes the exhaustion cases? What's the cause?
Well, these boys have been subject to battle conditions. They have been under fire for days at a time. They haven't had enough sleep. They haven't had the right kind of food. Maybe the supply lines have been cut, and they're just tired out.
Well, and basically, you just give them plenty of food and sleep and so on?
Give them good soft beds and sedatives so they can get lots of sleep, and give them lots of milk to drink, good food, and let them just talk with us and get everything off their chest.
Personal attention, then.
That's right.
And that's what they like to talk to an American girl.
They usually do, yes.
And the treatment was successful?
Yes, the treatment was really tremendously successful. The comeback to those boys is... It's a high percentage, much better than it was in World War I.
Well, that's an inspiring story of service. The whole country can be proud of all you women who have been doing such a wonderful work. And, Miss Sanders, we'd like you to have, well, the compliments of Doma Seltzer, a couple of things. Dave, will you bring out, oh, that's a beautiful glazed flower chintz bedspread and curtains to match for your quarters.
Oh, that's grand.
And we have... We have a subscription to that famous magazine, Reader's Digest. Not for a year, not for a decade, but for a lifetime. And you're young and healthy, so that's a lot of good reading. Thank you very much.
Thank
good luck
you.
To you.
I'm talking right now to those graduate nurses who are in front of us. And at the same time, I'm talking to you people out there listening. But listen to what we say to these nurses. A few of them, I believe, are eligible right now to go into the Army or the Navy. Right here with us on the platform is Major J.W. Malone, the adjutant of Walter Reed Hospital. And if there are any of you young ladies who would like right now to come up and be sworn in as second lieutenants in the Army Nurse Corps, here are the steps. Here's the major. Right here they come. There are 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's 5. There are 6 young ladies who have just now come up on the stand. All right, Major Malone.
You raise your right hand. You, Helen Henley, Hilda Jane Gandur, Jean Martin, Miriam Bates, Sudie Bell Rodier, and Ann Connors, having been appointed temporarily a second lieutenant in the Army of the United States, solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, that you well and faithfully discharge your duty to the office upon which you are about to enter, so help you God. Well, Johnson, I think that takes care of all.
Are they now second lieutenants in the Army Nurse Corps? Wonderful. Thank you very much, Major Malone. All right, Warren.
Congratulations to all of you.
There, folks, that's the spirit of American womanhood. Self-sacrifice is hardly a strong enough term to express what's behind the unselfishness of these nurses.
We need more nurse aides and student nurses. Go to your local Red Cross chapter and get all the information. Your help is needed.
Folks, next Monday night, Fox Pop will broadcast from Camp Lee, Virginia, the home of the oldest branch of the Army, the Quartermaster Corps.
These men are now called the Fighting Quartermasters. They must get supplies of all kinds to our men at the front, regardless of hazard.
Their creed is the right amount in the right place at the right time. See you next Monday. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Of Army, Navy, or Red Cross personnel on this broadcast does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our product, as their regulations do not permit the endorsement of anyone.
Be sure to join Fox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when it visits Camp Lee, Virginia. Meantime, remember the advice of our talking Fox Pop train when it says,
fight the headache, freeway.
And don't forget the other great Romo Seltzer show, friends. The Adventures of Ellery Queen, as radio's most exciting mystery thriller, so be sure to listen. See your paper for time and station. This is Ernest Chappell bidding you good night for Bromo Seltzer. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.